Hi, I'm Kathy Forstein, music director at Casey Cafe Radio. I'm so glad to be chatting again with Casey Cafe Radio favorite James Caan. James' latest project is an epic novel and album called Metamoros. Each song highlights a character on the novel and takes place during the Civil War set on the Rio Grande. James, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me today on Casey Cafe Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I think the most obvious question is, what was the inspiration for doing this novel and this album?
The original inspiration, actually, interestingly, goes back 40 years. I had a friend in Hollywood who used to show old movies to the neighbors every Thursday night. And he used to be an old extra in Hollywood, so he would tell stories about how the movies got made. But he also told stories about his ancestors, and his great-great-great-great-grandfather, Samuel Ringgold, was the first officer killed in the Mexican-American War. And his family, after that, moved to Brownsville and Matamoros. So he had all these family stories about that place and that era during the Civil War. And they were just wonderful stories, exciting and rousing. And he always, he's passed on, but he always asked me to make a movie about it one day. So the idea of it has been percolating in me for a long time. And I started getting serious about researching it probably 20 years ago. And I just sort of did it intermittently for a while, and then got serious about researching it. And what was most interesting to me about it was it's a piece of the Civil War that almost no one knows about. The South smuggled their cotton to Brownsville, Texas, and then across the river to Matamoros, Mexico, where it then got exported to the English cotton mills. And that's the only way that the South made any money to finance the war. And then European ships would then ship arms and munitions into Matamoros and then smuggle it across the river to Brownsville and then sneak it into the South to fight the war. And the reason that was possible is that the North had blockaded all of the Southern American ports, but they couldn't blockade Matamoros because that was a foreign port. They couldn't blockade it by law. So Matamoros became what was called the backdoor of the Confederacy. And that was interesting enough, but the same year, during 1862, Napoleon III invaded Mexico to conquer Mexico. So Matamoros was like Casablanca. It was full of not only Yankee and rebels, spies and gunrunners and cotton smugglers, but also French foreign legionnaires and Austrian soldiers. So it was a wild place. I thought that was a great setting for a novel.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one has come up with that before. It just seems rife in history and characters, you know, like you said.
It does. And then because it seems so much like Casablanca to me, I started envisioning a kind of similar story of a guy who ran, who is sort of apolitical and cynical, but also secretly romantic, who ran a gambling casino, a previously Southern gentleman who had become an expatriate and was running a gambling casino in Matamoros. And so it's also his wildly romantic love story with this woman.
Mm-hmm. So that's your Humphrey Bogart character there?
Exactly. Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman come alive in my novel.
Very cool.
I had just finished my previous CD, The Meaning of Life, which you guys were nice enough to air half a year ago or so, and was looking around for my next music project and just sort of naturally stumbled into doing songs about the novel. So each of the songs on the CD is about one of the characters in the novel.
Mm-hmm. So the novel, it came first then?
Yes, it did.
Okay. And so what was your inspiration to, like, did you have that many characters in the book, or some of these characters, like smaller characters that you've kind of expanded on in the story for the songs?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all the characters in the CD were characters in the book, but some of them were major characters and some of them minor. And the way I decided to write the songs was, you know, I would develop even a minor character sometime. But after I started writing that character, I started wondering about that character's backstory. So sometimes the songs involve telling the story of the backstory of a minor character that you might not know about just from reading the novel. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there'd be stories about the after story, about what that character did after the novel was over. And sometimes they were stories about things that happened in the novel, but from the perspective of that character instead of from the perspective of the author. So they weren't necessarily exactly the plot line of the novel. They were sort of internal feelings about what that character was going through during that story.
Yeah. So, yeah, every good actor knows that you have to have a backstory for your character, no matter how big or small it is. So,
exactly. Exactly. Like one of the characters in the novel, his name is Harley. It's a very, very minor role. He's a janitor in the opera house in Matamoros. So I just started wondering, well, how did this sort of southern poor soldier end up being a janitor in Matamoros during the war? So I came up with his backstory, and that's what the song is about.
Very cool. Yeah, that's a good song. We're playing that on KC Cafe Radio.
Cool.
So, have you thought about turning this into a play or into a movie? Is there any plans for that to happen?
Yeah, well, I have plans. I don't know if anybody else does. Yeah, I was interested in a couple different directions. One is people have been suggesting I turn it into a musical. So I'm sort of thinking about that. It'd be a cool sort of Old West musical. Folk musical. But in addition, as I mentioned, my old friend Gene, who kicked off these stories, always wanted me to make a movie of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in that, although there's way too much story for a single movie. So lately I've been thinking about looking at it as a 6 or 8 part miniseries on television.
Yeah, you should be talking to Netflix or streaming services.
At some point, yeah.
Because that's the perfect vehicle for them, something like
that. Right.
So you have a favorite character that you wrote about on the song?
Yeah, well, I think my favorite character is the lead character. His name is Clay, and he has kind of a mysterious past. He's a southern gentleman, but for some reason he ended up being cynical and apolitical here south of the border, where he runs this gambling hall and sort of trades in selling information to all sides, to whoever pays him the highest price. So we feel like he's just kind of a cynical war profiteer, but clearly he's got some secret agenda that you'll all find out about if you read the book.
Mm-hmm. And when you purchase the book, do you have to purchase the book and the CD separately, or can you get them in a package form?
No, there's no package. You have to do them separately. So okay. You can get the book. You can get them both on Amazon, and the book comes in either Kindle or a paperback. And the CD you can get on Amazon or CD Baby or iTunes. You can download it from iTunes.
Mm-hmm. So is this self-published as well, then, the book?
It is. It's my first self-published book. I've had a number of books published in the past, from old science fiction novels in the 80s and novelizations like Return of the Jedi and The Goonies, all back in the 80s and 90s. And those are all big national publishers. But this is my first attempt at actually self-publishing, which means basically also self-distributing and self-marketing. So I've been learning that. Is kind of a steep learning curve that I've never understood or been very good at. So I'm just giving it a try now.
Yeah, I can't imagine it. I know putting out your own CD is hard enough. I can't imagine doing a book and a CD at the same time. That's just craziness.
Yeah, it was a pretty good project, yeah. It took me a couple of years to get both of them finished.
Yeah, and so how long did it take to, you said that you kind of had the idea for this for like 20 years.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So how long of a time span did you actually sit and work on writing the novel?
Well, first I did research on and off for about 10 years, sort of just in bits and pieces for about 5 years. And I did research really seriously for 2 or 3 years. And that involved, initially used bookstores and libraries. And then I started going online. And I would get sort of overviews on Wikipedia, but that would send me to going into deeper dives and references that I found there. And once the research started getting pretty deep, then I started coming up with ideas for, what time frame was I going to tell the story in and who might the characters be. And then I started really in-depth writing it, I'd say 2 or 3 years ago. It took me close to a year to do a first draft, and then another year to do 4 or 5 subsequent drafts.
Mm-hmm. And there are like 14 songs on this album, and each one is about a different character. Did you find that there was one character that you personally identified with a little bit more?
I identified with more. There's actually a doctor, a woman doctor, who I identified with quite a bit. And she was actually based on a true historical figure. Her name was Esther Hill Hawks. And she was a northern doctor who was actually the only female battle surgeon in the Civil War, as far as I could find out. But she was also, she became a spy and ventured, after her battlefield duties, she ventured south, where she opened up secret slave schools to teach slaves how to read, and also did sort of disappeared from sight for periods of time doing spying for the North. And so I just invented the notion that during one of those periods of time, she ended up in Brownsville and Matamoros. And so we crossed paths with her there.
That's really cool. I like that idea.
Yeah. About there are probably half a dozen characters in the novel who are actual historical figures.
Very cool.
One was, the commandant of Fort Brown and a quartermaster there. Then there were the two northern and southern ambassadors in Matamoros in Mexico, and they were ambassadors, but they were also both sort of spy masters and spy versus spy kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. And so each one of these songs, each one of these characters has a different song, but they're all in, I mean, it's really a credit to you because you cover like an entirely big genre of styles in this.
I tried to keep the genre of each song consistent, sort of the idiom of that song consistent with who the character was. So the lead character, there's one of the characters who's an Irish immigrant. So I did his song sort of in an Irish folk song kind of genre. There's another one who's the Confederate ambassador to Mexico, who's actually originally a Cuban. He was a Cuban revolutionary. So I kept his song in the idiom of Cuban soul music or somewhat mariachi music. Mm-hmm. So I did that more or less with each character, whatever their background was. There's a Southern belle who I did a Southern waltz for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really great. I mean, if people haven't listened to, I mean, I've heard the whole album and I just think it's an amazing album and an amazing accomplishment just to get all those different styles and pinpoint these characters into these musical styles as well. It's a great triumph on your part. It's really great.
I appreciate it. Thanks. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think maybe my favorite character was a Scottish sea captain who was a blockade runner. He ran guns to the southern states through the naval blockade that the Union had imposed. And he was Scottish, so I wrote a sea shanty for him. And that was really fun, doing just a rousing a cappella sea shanty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a cool song, too. I like that one. It sounds like it should have been written, back in the 1700s or something. It's kind of cool.
Right.
So you said which one you enjoyed the most. Was there a character that you had a really difficult time figuring out, who this is and what you want to go musically with this character?
Difficult time. The hardest song for me to write was the waltz, the Southern Waltz. Just because it felt to me like such a kind of typical piece of music. And I've heard that kind of thing so much. It was like reminded me a little bit of the Tennessee Waltz. Mm-hmm. So it was a challenge for me to try and write it in such a way that it felt there was something a little bit different about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up making it a very sort of a long, complicated story waltz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's a good one too. I like that one.
Yeah.
As far as do you have a favorite song in particular on the album?
Yeah, I think my favorite song is actually the first one, the title song, Matamoros. And that's about the lead character, Clay. But as I was mentioning earlier, it's one of those songs where it's not exactly what happens to him in the novel. It's more like his feelings about what happened to him in the novel, his idea of who he is. We all have different self-images from the way other people view us. And it has a little bit of an ambiguous ending, which also kind of corresponds in some ways to a surprising ending at the end of the book, which I won't go into.
Yeah, don't give anything away.
I won't. a lot of twists and turns in this book.
Yeah. You've written a lot of, like you mentioned before, other novels as well, for like sci-fi and stuff like that. What's the difference between writing historical fiction and sci-fi? Do you find one easier to do than the other one? Does one take more time? I mean, there's research involved, just different ways in both, right?
Yes and no. I found this much more challenging than anything I'd written before because of all the research. Everything I've written before, pretty much, I made up out of my head. I mean, the sci-fi and fantasy stuff, you can pretty much make up what you want to. I've written medical thrillers, and since I'm a doctor, it came out of a body of knowledge that I already had, so I generally didn't have to do much research there either. But this involved a lot of, you know, really years of deep research, which was challenging but also really fun. I mean, it reminded me a little bit of being back in college and doing research papers, so mm-hmm. It was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I ended up, the final piece of my research, actually, I ended up going down to Brownsville, Texas, and I got access to the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley Special Collections, their historical archives, and also the Brownsville Historical Association. So I got to read, you know, old original sources, journals and diaries and letters and newspaper microfiche, so it was really interesting.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm betting that, you know, you probably went crazy at that point thinking, my brain's exploding. I can go in this direction, in this direction, in this direction with this.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I have so much more material still just, in pages in my computer than I ever used. And in fact, the first draft of this novel was almost 800 pages long. Now it's 450. So there's a huge amount of material I wrote initially. It was just so unwieldy that I got, I had to pare it way down.
Mm-hmm. And so without giving too much away in the novel, what time period does it take place during the Civil War, like from 62 to?
Yeah, it takes place from around July 62 until early spring of 63, like March of 63.
Okay.
And it's within that context that the historical wartime context is everyone in Texas was, there were rumors about the northern invasion of Texas. So everyone was worried about where and when and how the North was going to invade Texas. That's the kind of underlying historical thing that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, meanwhile, our characters are involved in trying to find that out or stop it or help it and, mm-hmm. in various ways.
Yeah, I would think you have so much. I mean, that just seems like it would be something you could do prequels to and sequels to. And I mean, I think you could just go on and on and on with this story.
Absolutely, it's and in fact, I left the ending of the book at a place where there's kind of a natural sequel that could come.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just got me so interested in this whole time period that I was kind of fascinated with it. And I certainly have enough material under my belt at this point that I could pretty easily write a prequel or a companion novel.
Yeah, I would be excited to read that too.
Yeah.
I love historical fiction, and so this is right up my alley.
Cool.
So would you say that the CD is more of a companion to the book? You can read the novel without listening to the CD, and you can listen to the CD without reading the novel?
Yeah, I did that specifically, so you could do either one and not have to do the other one. But if you do them together, they really enhance each other, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, thinking ahead to movie or television, I see the CD as the basis for a soundtrack.
Yeah, oh, for sure, yeah. And yeah. Do you, like, have anybody in mind? Do you want to be in the movie? If you had, like, could pick anybody to star in the movie,
yeah,
who would you pick?
Yeah, my favorite idea would be Matthew McConaughey, actually. Because I think he's a terrific actor. He's also from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also, I understand, into Texas music. So I think there's a number of aspects that would intrigue him, and I would love to see him play the lead.
Yeah, that would be great. And then with the CD, did I read that you have actually special packaging with it as well? Is that right? thought I read something about, sure mean, like, is there like a booklet that comes with the CD?
Oh yeah, yeah. Two things. One is a friend of mine who's a fantastic illustrator, Bart Buss, did five paintings for me. Two of them are for the front and back cover of the novel, and the others are a part of the package of the CD. And then in addition, there's a booklet insert in the CD, which in addition to having his paintings, has all the lyrics to all the songs and pictures of artifacts that are appropriate to each song, artifacts of the time. Like one of the characters, Harley, in his backstory, we find out he was an old moonshine liquor brewer. So there's moonshine coils and artifacts like that on his page.
Oh, neat. You should even put up a website for this, too.
there's a Facebook site for it, for sure.
That's awesome. Where did you record this at? Did you record this at a studio or?
Yeah, it's a studio here that's run by a fantastic musician named David West, who produced it. He used to he toured for a few decades with Kate Wolf and the Cache Valley Drifters as well, and then he just got tired of touring, so he settled down and opened a studio, and he did a great job producing it.
Mm-hmm. And did he also play on it as well?
He did, yeah. He did many of the instrumental backups. He's an incredible banjo player, a dobro player, a mandolin player, a guitar player. He does it all.
Mm-hmm. And what you have a really nice choir on the CD as well. Who's singing with you on some of the songs?
Yeah, most of my backup is a beautiful singer named Sean Ties, T-H-I-E-S. Occasionally, David West, the producer, also backs me up on the sort of male backups.
Mm-hmm. And
I've also just done a music video of one of the songs, So Long the River, which is a kind of spiritual, an elegy on all the folks who didn't make it out of the novel alive. Mm. So that's up on my YouTube channel.
Okay. And is there any... are there any songs in particular that you're going out and performing? Are you just doing? I mean, how are you promoting this? I guess I'm asking.
Yeah, well, I've got some book signings lined up. Like I say, this weekend I'm going to be in Brownsville at the Historical Association Museum. So while I'm there, I'll do a reading from the book, and I'll also sing a couple songs, probably Matamoros, the song, and So Long the River, the one I just mentioned. Then I've got a couple other similar book signings lined up. And then I'm just doing a lot of online promotion. I've got a blog I've started writing about some of the characters in each of the songs and their links to the songs and to the music video.
Very good.
And then there's a Facebook page as well.
All right. So what else are you going to do after this? Have you got anything in your plans for the future past this book?
Yeah. Well, I think actually my next project will be to start writing a TV series. I think I'm going to write I do have a long history in writing screenplays and teleplays and wrote and produced Melrose Place and Star Trek Voyager and Xena Warrior Princess and a lot of TV shows over the years. So I have some contacts in that neck of the woods, but also a long experience with writing that kind of thing. So I think I'm going to write a pilot for a limited TV series and block out how the episodes would go and then try and get that started as a project.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I hope it goes. I mean, it should. I can't see how someplace could pass this up and want to do it.
From your lips to God's
ears. Yeah. So I just want to tell everybody that they can go to your website, and it's thatjamescahn, KAHN.com, and you can see a little bit more about Metamoros there. You go to his Facebook or the Facebook page. What is the Facebook page for it?
The James Conn, it's the Matamoros, the book and music.
Okay, Matamoros, the book and music. And then you can get the music on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, and you can also purchase the novel at Amazon. And you said it's also available at Barnes & Noble, correct?
Right, Barnes & Noble. And you can order from any bookstore through the publisher, Ingram, the distributor, Ingram.
Okay, great.
And also check out my YouTube channel, which is the James Caan channel, and you can see my music video for this CD there as well.
All right. Well, thanks, James, for talking with me today and chatting with me about Metamoros. I think it's going to be a huge success.
Yeah, well, thanks so much. I appreciate you letting me come on and talk about it.